Genesis 41, verse 1 to 16. When two full year had passed, Pharaoh had a dream. He has been standing by the Nile. When out of the river there came up seven cows, sleek and fat, and they grazed among the reeds. After them, seven other cows, ugly and gaunt, came out of the Nile and stood beside those on the riverbank. And the cows that were ugly and gaunt ate up the seven sleek, fat cows. Then Pharaoh woke up. He fell asleep again and had a second dream. Seven heads of grain, healthy and good, were growing on a single stalk. After them, seven other heads of grain sprouted, thin and scorched by the east wind. The thin heads of grain swallowed up the seven healthy full heads. Then Pharaoh woke up. It had been a dream. In the morning, his mind was troubled, so he sent for all magicians and wise men of Egypt. Pharaoh told them his dreams, but no one could interpret them for him. Then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, "Today I am reminded of my shortcomings. Pharaoh was once angry with his servants, and he imprisoned me and the chief baker in the house of the captain of the guard. Each of us had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own. Now a young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of a captain of a guard. We told him our dreams, and he interpreted them for us, giving each man the interpretation of his dream. And things turned out exactly as he interpreted them to us. I was restored to my position, and the other man was impaled. So Pharaoh sent for Joseph, and he was quickly brought from the dungeon. When he had shaved and changed his clothes, he came before Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'I had a dream, and no one can interpret it. But I have heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it.' 'I cannot do it,' Joseph replied to Pharaoh, 'but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires.'" Verse 41 to 57. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt." Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his finger and put it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in robes of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. He had ride him in a chariot and his second in command. And people shouted before him, "Make way!" Thus he put him in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I am Pharaoh, but without your word, no one will lift hand or foot in all Egypt." Pharaoh gave Joseph the name Zephenathphenaiah and gave him Asenath, daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, to be his wife. And Joseph went throughout the land of Egypt. Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out of the Pharaoh's presence and traveled throughout Egypt. During the 7 years of abundance, the land produced plentifully. Joseph collected all the food produced in those 7 years of abundance in Egypt and stored it into the cities. In each city, he put the food grown in the fields surrounding it. Joseph stored up huge quantities of grain like the sand of the sea. It was so much that he stopped keeping records because it was beyond measure. Before the years of famine came, two sons were born to Joseph by Asenath, daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. Joseph named his firstborn Manasseh and said, "It is because God has made me forget all my trouble and all my father's household." The second son he named Ephraim and said, "It is because God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering." The 7 years of abundance in Egypt came to an end, and the 7 years of famine began, just as Joseph had said. There was famine in all the other lands, but in the whole land of Egypt there was food. When all Egypt began to feel the famine, the people cried to Pharaoh for food. Then Pharaoh told the Egyptians, "Go to Joseph and do what he tells you." When the famine had spread over the whole country, Joseph opened all storehouses and sold grain to Egyptians, for the famine was severe throughout Egypt. And all world came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph because the famine was severe everywhere. This is the word of God.
Thanks, Ika. Thanks, Ellie. Okay, let's pray. God, Father, thank you. Thank you for you to give us words through Moses. Thank you give us such a wonderful story. Lord, speak to us, touch us, teach us. You touch our heart with your hand. Show your face on us. Thank you, Lord. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Before I pray, I want to share something with you. It seems I'm serving our church. Amy and I, we are coming back, but essentially it's our church serving us. So all our brothers and sisters sit here to listen to a student, to preach. I feel very thankful. And also, in this story, actually, I feel very strong comfort from our Lord. Whenever I feel worry, I just feel, isn't God here? Wow, it's a great comfort. So it's really strong. I got a lot of things. Our life has been transformed in this service and in this word. Today we continue with the story of Joseph. So we can remember the story from the beginning. Joseph was a dreamer, first time I preached here. And he was sold by his brother into slavery. And when he was a slave, last time Pastor Yu preached to us, in Genesis 39, four times, the Bible tells us, the Lord was with him. And also in the jail, the Lord prospered him. And in Potiphar's house, the Lord was with him. And Potiphar prospered because of Joseph. So it's over the story we find God was with Joseph. Today, Joseph's life spiraled down to the bottom, and then it's just coming back. So we can see God's blessing on Joseph and his faith on God, especially when he said no to Potiphar's wife. Joseph was sold at 17 years old. He was sold into slave. He worked as a steward in Potiphar's house. He grew up a handsome young man, so Potiphar's wife was attracted to him and kept saying to Joseph, "Go to bed with me." And even once, he was forced in the room, but he still said no. So that's a faith. When you were in difficulty, you were tested. But if you are successful, you're also tested. A lot of times, you know, power and success can make us corrupt, forget God. We see ourselves. For blessing, a lot of time I'm thinking, what is blessing? So we got a lot of money, successful in this world. It is a blessing? Sure, it can be a blessing. But if we experience something unhappy, is it a blessing? Oh, it's hard for us to see that. You know, especially when Joseph experienced such kind of difficulty. So it's unimaginable. His own sibling, brothers, sold him as a slave. Is it a blessing? Can we see that? So in Calvin's Theological Seminary, we have a professor. His name is Darwin Glassford. He ever said, what is God's blessing? God's blessing is you know God is with you. Wow. It seems very common, the word, but it's so impressive. Because a lot of times we just forget, we just ignore his existence. But in this story, it's more than that. Joseph knew God is here with him, and also he glorified God. So that's our theme for today. Honor God. You not only know, you also glorify God. In your hard time and in your happy time, in the lows and in the highs. That's something totally reminding for all of us. God ever said in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30, it says, those who honor me, I will honor them. So this is true. Over Joseph's story, we can see God is so faithful. And the faith of Joseph on God make him so strong. So his character, over the story, we can see had been formed. The fortitude, perseverance, and patience. From 17 to 30 is 14 years. Wow. So God trained him, chisel him, and hammer him, make such a man will be a prime minister to rule all over the kingdom of Egypt. Isn't a blessing for Joseph? He was sold. If he was not sold, he was not a slave. He was not a prisoner. Is it possible for him to be such a strong guy? When he became a prime minister, he still put all his faith in God. That's something that's totally unexpected. So come back to this story. We can find six dreams in this story. The dreams in Bible is special. In Bible we have a lot of dreams, but in this story, only in this story, six dreams. The first two dreams revealing the ending of the entire story. And then in jail, in a dungeon, two dreams happened to the cupbearer of the Pharaoh and also the chief baker. So this dream, so it brought Joseph to interpret the dream and brought hope for Joseph. And finally, another two dreams happened to Pharaoh. So this gave Joseph some opportunity, the opportunity, not some opportunity, because the opportunity designed, decreed by God, he would be exalted. So the dream just like the outline of this story. It's just like God's hands working behind the story, push forward the story. So in the story, we can see Joseph glorify our Lord. Mainly in four ways, maybe not only this. So first we can say Joseph honored our God with all his ability. So when we remember something happened in the dungeon, Joseph said, do not the interpretations belong to God? When in the palace, Pharaoh brought him to palace, he said, I cannot do it. Why? It's the same word. He honored God. He said, I cannot do it. It is my God. He honored God as the only source of his ability. I cannot do it. So we can remember our Lord Jesus. Jesus honored Father as the only source of his ability. The Son and Father always together. Without the Father, the Son cannot do anything. And also, he tells Pharaoh, God will tell you what he desires to tell you. So that's why, that's God. He's a sovereign God. He will tell you, he desires to tell you. So second, we can say Joseph glorified God by recognizing his sovereignty. So in Genesis 41, three times in verse 25, 28, and 32, the Bible tells us Joseph tells Pharaoh, is the God who has decreed these things. So that's God's sovereignty. Gently and very clearly, Joseph tells Pharaoh, you are nothing. Our Lord, he can bring harvest years and also brought famine. We know Pharaoh, he's the most powerful king in the world at that time. He regards himself as God. So when he sees this so boldly, he can be killed. He could be killed. But he's so brave. He fears no people. He knows God is Almighty God, the loving God. Not only love Israel, and God also used Joseph to save other nations. When Joseph was anointed as the prime minister of Egypt, he worked very diligently. So the Bible tells us he travels around the kingdom to guide, build storehouses around the kingdom in each city to store the food, the grain in the warehouse. But apparently, Bible also tells us he still maintained his godly character. He still honored God in his career. So whenever we have some good opportunity, high position, a lot of people can be a workaholic. We can sacrifice our family, sacrifice our belief. We are too busy. We have too much thing to take care of. The last way is Joseph honored God in his family life. So this story tells us Joseph bought two sons before the famine. So he named his first son Manasseh. So this word is from Hebrew word Nasa. And Nasa means forget. So when I read this, I feel very surprised. It's just like we find another Joseph of the story, the author does not tell us Joseph feel pain or cried. No. He just extraordinarily righteousness. He's really extraordinarily righteousness. He's like Superman. But from these two names, Manasseh and Ephraim, it's just like a window, a small window for us to peek into Joseph's humanity. From the name, it seems we hear Joseph's crying in the cistern. He's begging his brother, please don't sell me. He's groaning in the dungeon. Up to this moment, Joseph, he had to make some special effort to ask God to cause him to forget. Forget what? Forget the suffering, the tears, the groaning. Something is so deep, he couldn't forget it. It had been together in his heart, accompanying him all the way. Not only forget the suffering he endures, also forget his father's household. So we don't know. We don't know why the Joseph forgave his brothers. Why the Joseph want to reconcile with his brother and his father. But here we only know Manasseh. It means God caused him to forget his suffering, his tears, and his father's household. Ephraim is from Hebrew, parer, it means fruitful. So God made him be fruitful in the line of suffering. Here he was a slave. He was an imprisoned slave. He prospered in the line of suffering. In this story, in Genesis 41, we can see the parallel, some striking parallels between our Lord Jesus Christ and Joseph. Joseph was appointed as the prime minister in Egypt at 30. We can remember our Lord Jesus started his public ministry at 30. Joseph was put in the prison, and Jesus was buried in the grave, in the tomb. Joseph was delivered by the hand of God. Our Lord also raised by Father. Joseph is seen now as the revealer of secrets. God revealed what he would do through Jesus Christ. Joseph warned a coming danger and urged his hearer to make suitable provision to meet it. Jesus Christ warned his hearer that death did not end all, but there was a life beyond the grief. So that's our hope. That's our faith. At the end of Genesis 41, the Bible says the famine had been severe all the world come to Joseph for food. So just like our Lord Jesus Christ, He's the manna, He's the bread of life for us to get the eternal life. Thanks God, we have this story, and it reveals to all of us God's grace, God's faithfulness, and His sovereignty. Let's pray. Let's pray to our Lord and to give thanks to our Lord for His word. Father God, thank you for the word. Thank you for the grace. You are faithful God. You have a plan for all of earth to prosper. You will never forget us because you are God, Almighty God. Thank you for all of this. Thank you, Lord. Continue guide us and lead us in the name of Jesus. Amen.